You know, I mean, it's wonderful till something goes south. And are we there? All right. Luke chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. We're going to go down through verse 11. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, by the way, that's Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, Lord, once again, we have read this passage of Scripture. We know this is your divine, inspired, preserved, perfect Word of God. And we know that this book is alive, quick, and powerful. We know that this passage has truths for us today that we're in need of. And this morning I pray that you would help us as we focus our attention on this particular happening in the life of Peter and the life of our Lord, that we would see those truths and we would make application in our hearts and our lives. Once again, we're burdened for any that are here without Christ. We know that most everyone here would profess that they know Jesus, but Lord, I pray that today folks would be assured, would be confident, would be certain of their faith in Christ, their salvation experience, their repentance and turning from their sinful ways to you, that they might know the joy of being a Christian, being saved. Help me this morning. You know my need, Lord. I just ask you to use me and help me to be in tune with your Holy Spirit, and that your Holy Spirit would control what's said and done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A lesson on faith. A lesson on faith. That's what we're going to look at in this passage this morning. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be a born-again, blood-bought, eternally secure, Holy Spirit indwelt believer. See, I didn't get all that. Well, I'll say it again. It's a wonderful thing to be a born-again, blood-bought, eternally secure, Holy Spirit-indwelled believer. It's a wonderful thing to be able to face every new day knowing that Jesus is my Savior, my sins are all forgiven, I'm on my way to heaven, and nothing can ever alter or change that. It's a wonderful thing. We sing the song, it's a grand thing to be a Christian. Amen. However, the Christian life can in some ways be a very difficult life. The Christian life is full of battles that we have to fight. We battle daily against sin, against our flesh, against the world, against the devil and his crowd. The Christian life is full of sacrifices we have to make. We have to give up our will. Amen. We have to give up our will, our desires, our time, our talents, and on we could go to live as we really ought to live for the Lord. Then also, the Christian life requires that we do some things that our human side, the flesh, finds hard to do. For instance, the Christian life requires that we die to self. Yet the old man, the flesh man in us, fights every day for control. The Christian life requires that we put others ahead of ourselves. But the old man, the natural man in us, still wants to have that place of priority that I'm more important than anybody and everything else. The Christian life requires that we separate ourselves from sin. And what that means is we strive to cease doing that which God declares to be sinful. But our human side still loves those sinful things. Yeah, I know we don't like to admit that, but it does. Because that's flesh. Finally, the Christian life requires that we live by faith. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. The just shall live by faith. As believers in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are expected as saved people to live for Jesus. We are expected to get saved, to live for Him, to witness for Him, follow Him. All that we are required to do or expected to do of God, we're to do by faith. You know, it's not an easy thing to do. Living by faith goes against our human nature. Now this morning our text is filled with truth and applicable principles for Christians. One of the main thrusts of this passage, and we've preached this many times, many preachers will preach it, has to do with one of the main things God has for us is to be soul winners. But I believe there's another truth taught here, an underlying truth that if it's grasped, if it's applied by us, it will not only make us soul winners, which we need to be, but it will also make us able to do great and mighty things for God. Here in this text, we see Jesus doing once again what He does on so many occasions. And that's, He takes a few everyday common people and things and uses them to teach us great spiritual truths. In this text, Jesus takes a few fishermen, some boats, some nets, a bunch of fish. And He wants to teach these men and teach us to be greatly used of Him. We all must learn to yield to Him by faith. That's the lesson here. If you really want to be used of the Lord, we have to yield to Him by faith. To be greatly used by Christ for Christ, we have to learn to trust His leadership. We have to learn to put ourselves in His hands. We have to learn to yield ourselves to His will without ever knowing what really lies ahead or what the outcome is going to be. See, that's what living by faith is. I said it's hard for us because the human side wants all the answers. The human side wants to understand. The human side wants to know what's at the other end of this decision. But the faith side says, I'm just going to trust Jesus Christ. I'm going to put this in His hands. I'm going to do what He says and trust Him for the outcome. Now, I want to share with you several reasons why we need to yield ourselves to Christ by faith. Number one, we need to yield ourselves to Jesus by faith because Jesus uses earthly vessels through which to work. You know, we read through this passage. We read over so many really good truths. We read the story. We know the story, but we never really stop to think about the story. Jesus uses earthly vessels through which to work. The text tells us, and He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So here we find the Lord Jesus Christ choosing to recruit and use an old, uneducated fisherman named Peter and his ragtag fishing boat to accomplish His purpose, and that purpose was to teach these people faith. Now, understand this with me. Jesus did not need Peter's boat. You've read the story. Have you ever thought about that? He's going to use Peter's boat, but he don't need Peter's boat. What are you talking about, preacher? Can I remind you that Jesus can walk on water? He did. So he really didn't need Peter's boat. He could have just walked out on the water if he had a mind to. And, I don't want to get way out there, but consider this. If Jesus wanted to, he could have hovered in the air. Said what he had to say to these people and taught them like he wanted to teach them. He did not need Peter's boat. Hey, if Jesus wanted to, he had the prerogative and the ability to dry up that section of the lake so he could stand there. There's so much he could have done other than what he did, but see, he's working something here. And so to do what he needs to do, he chooses to use Peter's boat. And here's another thought. He gets in the boat and he tells Peter to launch out. But in reality, Jesus did not need Peter to captain that boat. Think about this. Jesus gets in the boat. If he wanted to, he could have Gabriel or Michael, the angels, come down and be the captains of that boat and take it where he wanted to go. He could have done that. He had the power, the ability, and they were available. He didn't choose to do that. He could have captained the boat himself. All he had to do was speak and the boat would have went where he wanted it. You believe that? I do. He had that kind of power, that kind of ability. By the way, Jesus is God. This is the same God who spoke everything into existence. He wouldn't have had any trouble at all getting that boat where he wanted just by speaking. But he didn't choose to do that. He chose to use both Peter and Peter's boat. See, in this we see that Jesus humbled himself. He set aside his heavenly prerogatives and used common everyday people and things to do the work here on earth. But this isn't the first time we've seen that or the last time we'll see it. Here he uses Peter in his boat. This is a pattern we see in the Bible. We read about how he used Mary in that manger in Bethlehem. We read about how later he had to pay his taxes and so he sent Peter to go fishing to catch a fish. We see how he used all of these kinds of things. Last week we talked about the little boy he used to take his lunch and feed 5,000 people. And see, all of these, in all these situations, he took those who yielded themselves by faith and used them. And I bring you to this. Today, Jesus wants to use us and our possessions, just like he used Peter in his boat. See, again, in our day and age, we're 2,000 years later. But today, it's still the same. Jesus has set aside his divine prerogatives to use other methods to get his work done. What do I mean by that? I mean he chose to use earthly vessels rather than do things in a divine way. I've said many times, you know, God could have wrote the gospel message in the sky if he wanted to. He could have stamped it on every piece of fruit that ever comes off a tree or whatever God, but he chose to use earthly vessels. Us. And today he's looking for some folks who will yield to him by faith so that he can use us. He wants to use every one of us. You say, well, he can't use me for much. Oh, you'd be amazed at what he can do with you. But see, you have to be yielded and you have to come to that place where you want to be used of him and yield by faith our lives, our goods, and I'm talking about our careers, our homes, our money, whatever we have. He wants to use. And let me just say this. He needs earthly vessels through which to work. I said he didn't need Peter's boat. He really didn't need it. But because of the restrictions he's put on himself, that he will only use earthly vessels, now he needs some that will be yielded to him by faith. He's chosen us to do the work, to be the vessels. And now he needs us to be yielded to that and surrendered to him. Jesus uses earthly vessels, Peter in his boat. A second reason we need to yield ourselves to him by faith is because Jesus is our master, our Lord, our commander. In verse 5, look there, and Simon answering said unto him, and look what he says, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing, nevertheless at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, in the New Testament, this word master has a lot of different uses. It's used to mean teacher and guide and rabbi, head of the house, commander, helmsman of a ship, one who is supreme in authority, all those uses. And it's used of Jesus to mean teacher, rabbi, commander, one in supreme authority. As it's used here, it has the idea of one appointed over, one who has authority over others. He has placed in his command others who are his charges to lead or oversee. And here Peter recognizes that, and he recognizes Jesus as his commander. He confessed him as his master. And when Peter said that, here's what he's saying. Let's make it a little more clear what Peter is saying. When he calls him master, he's saying he would obey him as a soldier would obey his commander. Now, let's think about soldiers for a minute. Some of you have been in the military. You know when a soldier is given a command, he's not to question, he's not to argue, he just simply is to obey. And a soldier understands that. By the way, if a soldier don't know that, they put him out of the military. Because he's dangerous to everybody around him. See, many times others' lives are going to depend on your ability not to question and not to argue and not to try to find your own way, but to do what you are commanded to do. Jesus is the commander now, and Peter is saying to him, I am going to obey you like a soldier would obey his commander. Whatever you say I'm going to do, when you say to do it, how you say to do it, you are going to be in control. Now, we need to understand, Peter confessed him as his master, and if we're saved, truly saved, we need to confess him as our master as well. That means we obey him by faith. See, there's two things there. Number one, we obey him. And most of us don't have a problem understanding it. We might not do it, but we know we're supposed to obey him. And the second part of that is by faith. And when I say that, I'm talking about we may not understand. We may not be able to see the end result or whatever. We may not even agree. But we are going to do what he says, when he says, how he says. We're going to obey him because he's the commander. A good soldier bears unquestioned allegiance to his commander. A good soldier always obeys his commander. A good soldier obeys unquestionably, and we need to be that way. It's often said of soldiers, ours is not to reason why, ours is just to do or die. Listen, we as believers just need to come to the place where we say and we do, I must do that which my commander commands me. I am going to obey. You know, again, we read the story, we read over so much of it. Here's Peter or Simon. And Peter was a man like us. He was a human being. He had like feelings like we do. And as you read about Peter, you know, he had some struggles sometimes with his faith. But here we find him. Jesus said, I want you to put your net out. And Peter had no idea what Jesus was about to do. He had no idea what was ahead when Jesus said, launch out a little bit. But even though he could not understand it, even though it seemed like it was senseless to do what Jesus said, we've toiled all the night, we've taken nothing. It seemed like a waste of time. It seemed like maybe foolishness to him. But Peter said, you are my commander and I am going to do exactly what you said to do. And I'm going to do it by faith. Just going to trust you. You know, many times we're called upon to obey him by faith. We don't know the outcome. We don't know how he's going to work out, what he has to work out. We have no, but all we know is this is what he said. We're dealing with faith promise in December and late November, God had us on the subject of tithing and giving for a couple of weeks. And hey, if we're going to give like we're supposed to give, it's going to have to be by faith. So many times Christians say, well, preacher said we're supposed to tithe. Let me look at my checkbook and see if I can work that out to where I can. No, that's not faith. You're wanting to walk by sight. God says, look, you pay your tithes and you pay it by faith. You pay it by the faith that I said, I will open the windows of heaven and I will bless you and I will take care of you. And you just believe that and you do what God told you to do. In a matter of faith promise. Well, I don't know how God's going to do this. I believe he wants me to give X amount of dollars. Maybe he's laid on your heart. God wants me to give $50 a week. I don't know how he's going to work that out in my life. But he has really, really, really laid it on my heart that that's what I'm supposed to do. Well, then you need to do it by faith. Listen, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And we can't always explain or understand or see how God's going to do what he's going to do. But God is faithful. Think about little David. When he went out against Goliath, he went out with 5 stones and a sling. Now, he had no idea how God was going to do what he was going to do, but he told that big old giant, I have faith in the Lord and he's going to deliver you into my hands. He did that by faith. See, we want to see the other side. We want to know the end result. We don't want to step out there on that faith that God says we need to learn to trust him. I've said many times, why is it we can trust him with our eternal destiny? In other words, we can come to Christ and believe he's going to take us to heaven when we die and believe our sins are forgiven. Can you believe that? Why can't we believe him for our life? Why can't we believe him here and now? Listen, it's an exercise of faith, and Jesus is wanting us to understand that. We need to yield ourselves to Jesus by faith because he uses earthly vessels. He needs us. He's put himself in that position. He needs us. And number 2, because Jesus is our master. Do you call him Lord? I'm letting you think a minute. If I ask you, is Jesus your Lord? What would your answer be? See, right off the top, most Christians say, oh yeah, he's my Lord. What does it mean to be your Lord? It's more than just your Savior. When you say he's your Lord, you're saying he's in charge of my life. He's my commander. I am in subservience and obedience to him. He's the sovereign of my life. Is that true of you? It ought to be. Number 3, we need to yield to Jesus by faith because he's omniscient. He's omniscient. He knows the beginning from the end. Look up here. I'm going to lay this on you. Jesus is a whole lot smarter than you are. And Jesus knows a whole lot of things you don't know. He's omniscient. And we ought to yield to him because of this omniscience that he has. Verse 6 here. Get the picture. Peter's out in the, out there and he's mending his nets. They'd been out all night fishing. And we're, hey, listen, we're not talking about watch a bobber fishing. You say, what's that? Well, that's when you take a pole and you put a bobber and a worm on it, and you throw it out there and you poke the pole in the ground somehow on a wise stick and you get you a comfortable chair and you sit there and watch the bobber. You fishing? Yeah, I'm fishing. Your bobber went down four times. Oh yeah, oh yeah. No, not that kind of fishing. This is great, big, heavy nets that you throw in the water and you drag them along behind the boat and then you gotta pull these nets in hoping you got some fishing. They've been at that all night and they caught nothing. Now, I've been out fishing days when you caught nothing. Boy, that's irritating. I've been out a lot more days of hunting when I caught nothing. Especially when I go with Harry. But anyway, did I wake you, Harry? All right. Just kidding. Good to have Harry back in the service. But anyway, it's frustrating to put all that effort in and come up empty. Now it's morning and they're cleaning their nets, getting ready to go home, get some shut-eye. And here comes Jesus. And he gets him in the boat and then he says, put your net down. Now, Peter's a fisherman. Peter knows his business. This is how he made his living. Peter has fished all night and caught nothing. That's a good indication. It's not a good time for fishing. Maybe the moon's not right. Maybe the fish aren't feeding because storms are coming, whatever. But it's not a good time for fishing. Peter knows this. He's a fisherman. But the Lord said, let down your net. And Peter, probably in his heart, said, I think I see it in what he responded, probably said, this ain't going to work. He probably was saying in his heart, this is ridiculous. I have fished all night. There's nothing here. But at thy word, I'll let down the net. Lord, you're the commander. And I think maybe Peter was acknowledging, you know more than I know. And because you said to do it, though it seems ridiculous to me, though it don't seem like it's going to work to me, I am going to obey you. Jesus is omniscient. He knew what was going to happen when Peter obeyed. And look there at our text. In verse 3, it says when Simon's gotten the ship and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. Another place we're told he told him to launch out into the deep. Now here's what he's telling Peter. I don't know if you get this or not. He's telling Peter, I want you to leave the security of the dock and the shallow water and, you know, if anything happens right here, you're close to shore. It's not a big deal. I want you to get out there where it's deep. Where it's dangerous. Where if things happen, you're not so sure you're going to survive. Get out there, Peter. Get out there where it's not so comfortable. Ooh. Leave your comfort zone. And then I want you to let down your net. And it's interesting, he told him, let down your net. He said nets. Did you notice that? Jesus said, let down your nets. Peter said, Master, we've toiled all the night. I've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, he's responding. He's responding by faith. But I want you to tell you, he had little faith. Like you and me. I'm going to do this, but oh, I'm not going to do a whole lot of it. Huh? I'm going to let down a net because you said let down a net, but I still don't have any confidence in this. You know, I'm just going to let one down because I don't want to have to take up a bunch of empty nets. Huh? Peter. Peter had to be willing to cast the nets even though he couldn't see any fish. Peter couldn't see any fish. He had fished all night. He couldn't see any fish being there. But he had to let down the net. And when he did, then Jesus was able to bless him and bless his obedience and his efforts. When Peter followed the directions of the Lord, he was greatly blessed. And if we'll read the account, he had more fish than he could handle. He had so many fish, they broke the net. Just think if he would have put more nets down. More fish. And there's another message in there that God responded. God responded to his faith in accordance with the size of his faith. And that's another message. I don't have time to go there. But you see, here's what I want you to get in this part of this text. Jesus knows what will happen when we obey by faith. See, we don't know what's going to happen, but he already does. He already knew when Peter let down that net, it was going to get full. That's why he told him to let down nets. Peter of little faith did leave down a net. And he got more than he could handle. See, what I want you to see is, we need to get to where we understand we're to obey by faith. The outcome is up to him. We're to do what we can do. Peter could let down nets. He could go out into the deep. Jesus said, do what you can do, Peter. And he did. And then Jesus did what Peter couldn't do. He put the fish in the net. He filled up the net. Peter couldn't do that for himself. And we can understand this. Jesus is waiting and wanting to bless our efforts. The fish are waiting. The blessing awaits us if we would just learn to obey by faith. See, think about this. Peter would have never experienced this blessing had he refused to obey. Do you ever look at your Bible and look at things from another... Well, what if Peter would have said, Lord, I'm tired, I fished all night, I'm hungry, my wife's got breakfast on the table, and I'm going home, go to bed. You ever think about that? Whoa, stay with me. Peter had a free will. Just like you have a free will. Sometimes we look at these guys and we think they were some kind of special creatures. No, he had a free will. He could have said to Jesus at that point, I'm going home and have breakfast and go to bed. And Jesus would have let him go. Yeah. But thank God he didn't. If he would have went home and went to bed and had some breakfast, hey, his belly would have been full. He would have been comfortable in his bed, but he would have missed out on the blessings of the Lord. And that's where a lot of Christians are living today. Your belly may be full and your bed may be comfortable, but you are missing out on the blessings of the Lord in your life. Listen, God has so much more for us. And I'm not talking about just material. I'm talking about God wants to use us and bless our lives and that we might see fish come and see people saved and see God using us to build the kingdom for Him. But so many have said, I'm not going to obey. I'm just going to stay comfortable. I'm going home and have some breakfast and go to bed. Peter. Oh, I think about, oh, I'm so glad he was obedient. I'm so glad he was tender. I'm so glad he was willing, though he didn't understand it, and he had to give up his breakfast and his sleep time and all, but he was willing. Fourthly, we need to yield to him by faith, because Jesus needs yielded followers. He says in verse 10, "And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." See, we said in the last point, Jesus is omniscient. He already knows he's got a work ahead for Peter. He's got great and mighty things for Peter to do, yet for him. He wanted Peter to become a fisher of men. He wanted Peter to come to that place where he willingly forsook his boat, forsook his nets and his occupation, forsook his family, so to speak, left his father and all, and would no longer labor for money. He wanted Peter to come to that place where he would say, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to be a fisher for you." We said in Sunday school, to be faithful, we oftentimes have to leave things behind. God, or Peter, had to leave some things behind if he was going to serve the Lord. And many times we are going to have to sacrifice some things and leave some things behind so that God can use us like he wants to use us. Listen, I don't speak this glibly. I remember a time when I was 14 and a half years in a factory. We had a nice home. We had, you know, the station wagon with the wood grain side and the puppy dog and the fenced-in yard and three kids and addition on the house we had just finished. We were there. And there came a time when God said, "I want you to serve me full time." Now that meant we give up the job. Her job, my job. We give up the 5-bedroom house that we just finished the addition on. We give up the comfort of a weekly paycheck knowing that I have a good job, she has a good job, and the money comes in on a regular basis. We give up family and friends when we move from Pennsylvania and leave America and go to Florida. Had to leave some things behind. Now, we could have exercised our will and said, no, we're staying right here. And God would have let us. But oh, what we would miss. 26 years I've been pastoring. Seeing God do a lot of things. We have seen so many things in the ministry. There have been a lot of negatives, but there's been a lot of positives. But would have never experienced any of it had we not been willing to take that step of faith, leave some things behind, and say, "Yes, sir, I'll obey you." Hey, maybe God's dealing with you about it. You need to leave some things behind. And then Jesus blesses him with this wonderful catch. And it was only an inkling of what he was going to do with him later. Do you realize this is the same Peter who later, and Jesus said, "You're going to be a fisher of men." One day he caught 3,000. Day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved. Just a few days later, a couple of weeks later, 5,000 people got saved when he preached. Within just a couple of weeks' time, 8,000 people got saved from Peter preaching. Think about that. 8,000 people in just a couple of weeks' time got saved because Peter was now a fisher of men. He had learned to be obedient. Now the power of God could be on his life. Listen, Jesus had a great work for him to do, and Jesus has a great work for us to do. If we're going to do it, we need to go by faith, and we need to be faithful to go. Trust him for the increase. We need to yield to Jesus by faith. Whoop. What happened? Are we up there? What happened? Too many clicks. All right. All right, he'll fix it. But we need to yield to him by faith because Jesus needs some completely consecrated followers. Look at verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all. See that? All and followed him. When Peter got to shore, he walked away from it all. Parked the boat, hung up the nets, said goodbye to his family and his friends, left his occupation. He did it all so he could follow the Lord, trusting him. And that's what Jesus needs today, some people who are willing to give it all to follow him. Give up our security. I remember when Pastor Fedena was talking of retiring from his church ministry as a pastor. He was about to take a step of leaving a church ministry where in that particular church for 30 years they had paid his salary. And you know, you get a little secure when that happens. Just like you get secure when you get a paycheck every week. But now that was going to be taken away. He was concerned, you know, well, but he said, we got to trust the Lord. Sometimes we got to give up our security, sometimes our career plans. You know, sometimes people have it all mapped out. This is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to get this education. I'm going to get this job. I'm going to get this promotion. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get this. And I'm going to be here, and then I'm going to retire. And maybe God steps in and says, no. I got better plans for you. And we got to give up our plans. Willingly. Give up our materialistic mentality. We have it. We have a materialistic mentality. When I say we, I'm including all of us. You say, well, I don't think I do. Yes, you do. How do you know that? You live in America. That's our culture. See, one of the things about when these missionaries come through and they show you these people in these other lands that have just nothing. Clothes on their back and maybe a little place to sleep. That's what they have. And they're happy as can be. And if we don't have four televisions and three microwaves and wall-to-wall carpeting and you know, indoor plumbing and all those things, those wonderful things, man, we're destitute. We're bad. But see, we have to give up that materialistic mentality and understand it really don't matter how much or how little I have. That's up to the Lord. I'm just going to leave that in His hands and I'm going to serve Him. And what He gives me, I'm going to be thankful for. And if He don't give it to me, I'm going to understand. He don't think I should have it. You know, if you're wondering why God don't ever let you be a millionaire, it's because you can't handle it. It would ruin you. Give up our pet sins and our pleasures. Give up our hobbies and our... whatever it is. We need to be willing to give up some things so that we can be used of Him. I like when I read that verse. They brought their ships to land. They forsook all. And they followed Him. Now watch. Peter, James, John, Andrew. They forsook all. And for the next 3.5 years, they don't come back to the fishing boat. They follow Him. They made a decision here. We're going to follow Him. They walked away from it all and they didn't get down the road 2 weeks and say, well, maybe we should go back. And they didn't say a couple of months later, maybe we made a mistake. 3.5 years they were faithful and they followed Him faithfully. Where He took them, whatever the circumstances, All they did was keep their eyes on Him and follow Him faithfully. And that's what we need to do. A lesson on faith. That's what we're seeing here this morning. And that's what we need to understand, and that's what we need to learn, how to live by faith. Are you living by faith? I did it again. Now I won't even go off. I don't care. A lesson in faith. That's what this is all about. Living by faith. We say we do. But do you? You've trusted Him with your eternal destiny. You've trusted Him as your Savior. And if somebody questions you, I'm going to heaven. I've trusted Jesus. I've put my faith in Him to save me. If you can trust Him to save you and keep you out of hell and give you an eternal life in heaven forever, why can't you trust Him with your life on a daily basis? Living by faith. A lesson in faith. Peter, the great apostle Peter, had to learn that lesson. And he learned it on that fishing boat that day. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes? A lesson in faith. How's your faith today? Examine your heart and rate yourself. How's your faith today? On a scale of 1 to 10, how strong is it? Are you really following Him by faith? Have you been unwilling to yield some things to Him so that you can take that step of faith? God's speaking to you today. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask the Christians here today, I'm talking about the truly saved people. You know you're going to heaven when you die. You have trusted Him with your eternal destiny. There's no doubt in your mind, you're saved, born again, going to heaven. But how many who are in that situation in this room today would say, "Preacher, not only do I know I'm going to heaven when I die, but I believe with all my heart, as best I can, I am following Him by faith. I have put my trust in Him. I have made Him the commander of my life. Whatever He says to do, I want to do. What He says not to do, I don't want to do. He is in control of my life. He is really my Lord. As best I know how to make Him my Lord. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? I can honestly testify to that. Here's my hand. God bless you." Many raised their hand, many could not. How many who could not raise your hand, you say, "Preacher, He's my Savior, I know that for sure. But I've never really allowed Him to be the Lord of my life, the sovereign of my life. I've given Him some control, but I've kept a lot of the control in my life. And there have been times I know that He's told me to do things or to quit doing things, and I've not obeyed Him. I've exercised my will over His will. And today I want to confess it, and I want today to make Jesus the Lord, the sovereign of my life. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Hands are going up all over this room. God's speaking to you. God's speaking to you. I wonder if some folks here today say, "Preacher, I have not been willing to give up some things. I've been hanging on to some things and they've been holding me back from being all that Jesus wants me to be and doing all that He wants me to do. And today I realize I need to just give it up. I need to surrender. And I know when I get on the other side of that, it will seem like no surrender, no giving up at all. But right now it's a big thing in my life and I just got to let Jesus have it. Here's my hand. He's speaking to me. God bless you. God bless you. I got to be willing. I got to be willing to trust Him by faith. Here's my hand." One more question. Are you saved? Has there been a time in your life where you've trusted Jesus as your Savior? If you can testify to that, hold up your hand right now. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Here's my hand. Put it down. If you could not raise your hand a minute ago, would you right now? Just look at me eyeball to eyeball. Preacher, I don't know that I'm saved, but I want to be. In just a minute, we'll have the invitation. Would you slip out and come, and I'll greet you right here. I'll shake your hand and put you with a man if you're a man. Lady, if you're a lady, he'll take you to a quiet place and show you how to be saved today. Would you come? Let's stand together. 485. Have thine own way, Lord. God, speak into your heart. Will you come today? Will you come? Father, bless the invitation. Move in the hearts of folks today. Help us to be willing to yield to you like Peter had to yield to you. And allow you to use us because you need earthly vessels in which to work, through which to work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you come today? Will you come? God speak into your heart. 485 in your song, or 80. Will you come? Right now, just step out and come. God speak into your heart. He's got his finger on your heart. Will you come? Will you come? Oh, I'm glad Peter obeyed. I'm glad Peter let God have his way rather than Peter have his way. I'm glad that he took that step of faith. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Folks are at the altar and folks are praying, and maybe you need to be. Will you come right now? Will you come? Just step out. God's dealing with your heart. Don't harden your heart. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, just do what he tells you to do. Listen, if you obey God, you'll never regret obeying God. Will you come and obey him? You know, Peter had no idea there was a big draft of fish waiting for him. But God honored his faith. And God honored his obedience. And that's what God does. He honors faith and obedience. He wants to honor your faith and obedience. But you need to exercise it. You need to take the step. Let's sing that last verse of the invitation hymn, God's speaking to you today. Are you saved? Will you come and let us show you how to be saved today? The best decision you ever make in your life is come to the Lord. Know Him as your Savior. Will you come? Will you come? Yielding. Surrender. Will you come? Will you come? Touch me.